Father, we give you the praise and the honor for your faithfulness, for your mercy. Thank you for a night like this. Breathe upon the service. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of being called your own. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. We worship and we honor you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Thank you, choir, for your ministration. God bless you. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. Before we pray, we're going to look at the word sharply on the subject of vision still. And the word is the impact of vision. The impact of vision. Our objective is to understand the impact on vision on the lives of visionaries. The impact of vision on the life of visionaries. And secondly, we shall like to understand what it takes, understanding what it takes to bring vision to pass. What does it take to bring vision to pass? From Sunday, we saw that vision brings a lot of impact into the life of the visionary or the visionaire. When a man is a man of vision, his life can never be the same with a man without vision. When a woman is a woman of vision, her life can never be the same with a woman without vision. We identified some things already on the impact of vision, where we saw that vision makes us communicate in the language of God, and that vision ushers us into incredible possibilities, and that vision also gives the Holy Spirit raw material to work with. Tonight, we are looking at the impact of vision. Number one, what is the impact of vision commencing tonight? One, vision brings people into alignment and company with God. It brings people into alignment and company with God. Because by vision, you are accessing the purpose of God for your life. Vision is insight into purpose. That's one of the definitions of vision. Insight into purpose. What God wants you to do with your life. What God has for you in the future. You are seeing it ahead. And because of that insight into his purpose, you can walk with him because you are agreed. Amos chapter 3 and in verse 3. He says, how can two walk together? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So vision brings man into alignment and company with God. You are in the company of God because you are seeing what God is seeing. You are going where God wants you to go and where God is going. You are doing what God wants you to do, so he comes to do it with you. Vision brings people into alignment and company with God. You enjoy the company of God. You enjoy the cooperation of God. You enjoy the participation of God with vision, especially kingdom vision. You enjoy the company of God. You enjoy the cooperation of God. You enjoy the participation of God with vision, especially kingdom vision. Number two, vision brings rest, peace, and assurance to life. There is that sense of peace, that rest, that peace, that assurance. Because you are seen somewhere there.
even though you are somewhere here, but there is somewhere there you are seeing that is making you not to be stressed. Concerning Jesus, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, it said, looking unto Jesus, wherefore seeing we are compassing with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now go to verse 2. He said, now looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he was at rest. He was passing through the cross. He was passing through the shame of the reproach and the mockery. But he saw that where he was going was a greater place, a better place, and it was nearby. The Bible said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That is Psalm 16, I believe, verse 6, 7, 8, thereabout. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Keep going. He said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. This is a messianic psalm. It's a psalm talking about the crucifixion and the sufferings of Jesus. I am resting. Why? Because thou will not leave my soul in hell. Keep going. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. I am at rest, I am at peace, because I know where my life is now, it's not where it will end. I see somewhere ahead, I see a future. Vision makes you to be at rest in the immediate, because you can see the ultimate. Did you hear what I just said? It causes you to be at rest in the immediate because you can see the ultimate. Hallelujah. I gave this illustration many years ago. Many of you have watched wrestling match before, right? You watched wrestling match or boxing match. Now you watched a big man fighting with a small man. And this fight was so brutal. How many of you, when you are watching such a thing, there is one of the fighters you like, and there is the other one you don't really like. Maybe it is more, it's very brutal. All right? And you are watching the match, and the man you like is losing the match. They are beating him. They are hitting his nose on the ground. They almost killed him. Your heart was in your mouth. Please, let him not kill this man. And eventually, your man that was, they were counting for one, two, three, all of a sudden stood up and finished this man. And they lifted his hand and they say, he's the winner. And then you scream, yeah, we have won. As if you fought. We won. That was the first time you watched that game. If it was a video or something, and you are now to watch it a second time, how agitated will you be? You are at rest. What is happening? I have seen it before. I saw how it will end. I saw how it ended. That is what vision does for you. When you see the end, you are at rest with the present. All right? God has seen your end and he saw that you are. That's why some people say, why is God not bothered that I am in so much problem? Why is God even watching me at all? God said, yes, you are just watching the game now, but I have watched it before. I saw it before. I declare the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. And you shall win at the end. Somebody shout the loudest, say amen. Somebody shout, I shall win at the end. That is how vision gives you rest in the immediate. Number three, vision enhances qualitative and quantitative living.
Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 18. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish, they die, they fade off. Qualitative and quantitative living. You live the life of quality when you are a man of vision. And you also have life in quantity, which means your life is durable. Plenty life. Not short life. Not life that is cut short. Where there is no vision, people fade away. They are deprived of honor, deprived of glory, deprived of dignity. Where there is no vision, people actually don't last long. The girl talked about what I mentioned on Sunday about suicide. I say people give up and want to kill themselves when they don't have a vision for tomorrow anymore. Qualitative and quantitative living. I can remember nothing less than two people at the point of death. Diagnosis of death, quarter to go. One, a woman. And I said, woman, this your daughter, this your son, and this one, and this one, and this one. They are not yet married yet. You need to see them married. And you need to see their children. And he hit her, stepped into her spirit. I think at that time, maybe three children were married yet. Out of maybe seven. And life, that vision, let me see them. Coupled with prayer, coupled with other things, brought a revitalization to life. And life came back. And the life is still on. And all those who had not married then have all married and all have children. And the life is still on. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same was said to someone else. Be alive. Nobody can take care of another person's children like that person. And down from the place where the person was already up and back to life, and he's still on. There is something about vision that keeps you here. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Something about vision. Elderly people who keep things in front of them. They just keep things in front of them. They have planted a plantation and they are waiting for the harvest. He is 87 years. How are you doing, sir? Oh, I'm doing great. Are you in health? Absolutely. What is your next achievement? I've just planted this corn. I'll harvest it next year, March. I'll harvest it next year. And that anticipation is a reason to remain. An experiment was performed where a group of rats were put inside a container. And a control group, a group was put inside it like a drum and they were covered. Another group was put, I read this from Zig Ziglar. Another group was put inside a container and it was open. They realized that those that were seeing light, that is, they had vision, those lived longer. Those that couldn't see light, the rats that couldn't see light and were covered, they struggled for a while and many of them began to die. Because where there is no vision, there is the loss of hope. And where people lose hope, they begin to die. For to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. And a living dog is better than a dead lion. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If for no other reason, if life must be qualitative and life must be quantitative, there must be vision that must be kept in front. Something in front, something you are walking towards, something you are running towards, something you are headed towards. Vision. It enhances life in quality and in quantity. Number four, vision brings speed and acceleration to life. There is a lot of speed. You achieve more in a month than most may achieve in a year because you have vision. There is something you are running towards. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 2, it says, write a vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it.
Where there is no vision, life is left to chance, and life that is left to chance is left to rot. Life left to chance is left to rot. The absence of vision is the abundance of stagnation. Write the vision. Make it plain. Somebody asked, how is it possible to have 41 crusades in 1 year? 1 year. When we did the first three crusades last year, within 1 week, one bishop called another person and said, what is happening? What are those people doing? He said, the kind of crusades they are doing three in a week is the type you do two in a year and you relax. And you are excited that you have done so much. But this is three in 1 week. By the time the year is ended, you are talking of 41. They don't happen by chance. They happen by the force of vision. They happen by the force of choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even the energy to run is not there where there is no vision. The energy to run. To imagine it tires you. Do you understand? To imagine it alone, it tires you. I was going to preach in Anyigba in Kogi State many, many years ago. Maybe 15 years ago. The crusade, I believe it was starting on Tuesday at the Kogi State University. Thereabout. Our pastor there is now in Jalingo. And I was going to go. But after healing and deliverance service, I was so tired. And when I imagined the road from here to Abaji, all the road, and then to Lokoja, and then to Ajaokuta, and then to Itobe, and then in my mind, I was tired. And the pastor told me, so how is everything coming up? He said, fine. I said, so I would like you to help me take the crusade this evening. I'll be coming tomorrow because I'm just a bit, very, I need some rest from this morning intense service. He said, okay, sir. Although the people have been here since morning, desperate people, crippled, blind, deaf, all manner of afflicted people. See, they started arriving by 12 everywhere. By the time he mentioned that, my eye went straight to the crusade ground and saw afflicted people there that need to be helped. I told him, I'm on my way. Tiredness died on the spot. I jumped into the car and we drove through that road. I didn't feel any stress on the road. And I arrived and I saw everybody. And the power of God moved like from another world. Blinded eyes saw, deaf ears heard, cripples walked, cancers, tumors disappeared. That is the potency of vision. It makes runners. You run. You don't need anabolic steroids to run with when you have vision. You know the kind of thing that runners trying to inject themselves during the Olympic that they used to catch them, so that they can run faster than others. You don't need any of those running androgens or anything like that. You don't need any steroid. It's just a self-propellant. All of a sudden there is energy, and all of a sudden you are running. I announce to somebody today, no devil shall stop your race. If you believe that, say a loud amen. And so vision brings speed to life. Number five, vision assists the measurement of life's progress. Assists in the measurement of life's progress. You measure the progress where there is vision. The progress your life is making can be measured. Progress is measurable with vision. But where there is no vision, you don't know how far you are from where you are meant to be in life. Where there is no vision, there is no way to tell. This is where I'm meant to be and this is where I am now. I'm very far from it. You can't tell. Because you have no vision. You are walking towards nothing. No goals. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, all the way to verse 14, look at what Paul said. He said, back up to verse 10. He said, that I may know him
and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if I by any means might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, not as if I'm already perfect, but I am pursuing something. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting the things which are behind. I'm leaving some things behind. And I am pressing forward to some things that are in front. I am pressing towards a mark. That mark is a target, is a vision, is an end point, is somewhere I'm looking at. I know that I have started, but I know I haven't reached. And I am able to measure it because I can see the mark. Am I communicating at all? You cannot measure the distance, how far you have gone, if you don't know where you are going. You can't measure it. How far have I gone? One of the features I like inside the aircraft is that map, that travel map that is showing you this is where you are, you have how many hours to so and so place, you are across this particular country now, and you are going. For me, it shows me how close I am to my destination, and number two, and what I can achieve within the time I have before I land. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Very, very important. Vision assists in the measurement of life's progress. Number six, vision brings fortune into life. Fortune. It brings fortune. You can say that visionary people are fortunate people. They become fortunate. It brings fortune into life. The vision of bringing down Goliath offered David the opportunity of locating stones nearby and offered him the forehead that was open. He was able to sight it. Others may not have seen it, but he saw it. Jesus had the vision of feeding 5,000 men beside women and children. In John chapter 6, verse 3 to 6, John chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 6, the Bible said, and Jesus went up into the mountain, and there sat with his disciples. Keep going. And a Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? The vision is to feed the people. But this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he will do. Long story made short, because he had the mind to feed the people, there is a lad here with 6 barley loaves of bread. There is a lad here. That vision to feed the people attracted instant provision. It made it available. It made it there. There is a lad here. All right. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a vision for Jesus to reproduce the wine in Cana of Galilee. In John chapter 2, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. I believe that was in verse 3. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with you? When they wanted wine, she said, they have no wine. In her vision, there must be wine. Woman, what have I to do unto you? He said, my hour is not yet come. Verse 5. Mary said, whatsoever he said to you, do it. And then the Bible says, they were set. What will fulfill Mary's vision was already set. You will never locate provision until you have vision. They were set. 6 water pots of stone. It was already set. They didn't go to look for the pot that will hold the water that will turn to wine. It was set. It was set. How do you go from Togo to Accra, Ghana, Lome, Togo to Accra, Ghana, to Faisalabad, Pakistan, to London, England, to Maryland, USA, to Jamaica, to Canada, to Santiago, Dominican Republic, and just keep on going to Angola, Windhoek, Angola, Maputo, Mozambique, and just keep on going to Luanda, Windhoek, where? Namibia, Luanda, Angola. And you just kept going all over these places without taking an offering. Antananarivo, Madagascar, Kampala, Uganda. The stage, the light, everything paid for. Everything paid for. You are not begging the people. You flew, by the way and manner you flew. Helicopters where it is needed. Abba. And church at base is not under pressure. How does this happen? If it is in your heart to do, He will put it in your hand to get it done. That is fortune befriends the visionary. There is a relationship, and when I say fortune, I am talking about relevant favor, relevant opportunities, relevant personalities, relevant resources. Resources necessary, personalities necessary. All will flow in the direction of vision. When you begin to access what God wants you to do, and you begin to focus and to run with His vision. A pastor was with me today, and I said, we went to all these places without taking an offering. He said, what? How? Because vision brings fortune. In the year you are going, the year we are already in, your hand will never lack. The amen has more potential. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Say it like a believer. Number 7, vision averts accidents and mishaps of life. Accidents and mishaps of life. Vision averts accidents and mishaps of life. Where there is no vision, again, the people perish. If you look at it in the physical, when a man is driving a car that has no headlamp in the night, which means he is not seeing. Can you imagine? Just, I like you to imagine. Before you know it, is off the road. It's in the middle of the road. Both oncoming vehicles and those in front and those behind him are at risk with himself. Experience 32 years ago, young medical doctor, accident and emergency. Someone was driving, drunk on Christmas Eve. No headlamp. He is drunk. I think the vehicle also had no brake. In the night, he killed a person. That's accidents of life. They are inevitable when your life is heading where you don't know. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is how you join the friend you are not meant to be friends with, because you don't have a vision for your life. That was how you married a person you were not meant to marry, because you didn't have any standard. Look at Adam and Eve. Satan came to tell them, eat this fruit, you will be like God. Which means they didn't know that they were already like God. God made man in his image. The picture, what God made them to be, they had no clue. It was not in their mind. And that was equivalent to visionlessness. A visionless existence. So they entered what they call in Nigeria, one chance vehicle. They could not recover. Fraudulent. What about Esau? Esau had no vision for the birthright. He didn't know that there was a blessing on Abraham that will land on Isaac, and that Isaac's blessing can land on him, and he's on a generational lineage. He had no such vision. He said, what good is this birthright to me? I'm dying of hunger. You are talking birthright. Esau, the Bible says he wept, but there was no place of repentance. Jacob is alive today. They call him Israel. He's a nation. Where is Esau? No, nowhere. What about Samson? Samson had no vision for his life. Not even an understanding. I read that passage again. I believe it was yesterday. And I couldn't imagine. If we want to kill you, what should we do? He said, tie my hand. And the Philistines were in the corner. They tied his hand. Then the woman said, Philistines are upon you. And the Philistines came out. Actually, they came out to kill him. He took them off. Number two, if we want to kill you, what do we do? He said, take a brand new rope. I said, Philistines are upon you. And the Philistines arrived, truly. The killers were around to kill you. Oh. They charm you. Ah. They do you. Who do you? Village. You understand? It's one of the most mysterious passages. If we go to heaven and Samson is there, I will ask him. Or God, what happened? He said, yeah, there are some locks in my hair. Just web it together. And my strength is gone. Number three. Samson, they are upon you. And they arrived truly with weapons to kill him. Say negative. Wonder. Finally, woman pressed him. Until there was no more strength in him. He said, no razor has touched my head. How did it come out of your mouth? With a person who has just proved that he's ready to kill you and has not played. 3 times they have not played. You will never be like that. That is why vision must be strong. There is a business they will invite you into. You say, this is not for me. This is not my kind of business. There is a journey they say you will go. You say, I'm not in that one. I'm not involved. Come into this kind of relationship. Oh no, this is not my kind of relationship. So you prevent accidents of destiny. You prevent disasters on your journey. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. I prophesy to somebody, every spell on your life, every charm, anything they have done that is likely to destroy your life, I declare it is broken in the name of Jesus. It is broken in the name of Jesus. It is broken in the name of Jesus. I declare a new day for you. In Jesus' precious name. Our time is so much gone, but give me 10 minutes. Let me give you what it entails. Vision affects accidents and mishaps of life. Number one, let's go through it very quickly. What is the impact of vision? Vision brings people into alignment and company with God. Number two, vision brings rest, peace, and assurance to life. Number three, vision enhances qualitative and quantitative living. Number four, vision brings speed and acceleration to life. Number five, Vision assists in the measurement of life's progress.
How far am I going?
And number six, vision brings fortune to life. And number seven, vision averts accidents and mishaps of life. Now, how do you bring vision to pass? Number one, pray the vision into realization. Pray the vision. Vision is like a pregnancy. Isaiah 66 verse 8. It said, who has heard such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. You pray the vision. So, you conceive vision by prayer. And you bet vision by prayer. Okay? That is, you get to know what God wants you to do with your life at the place of prayer. You also pray that vision into manifestation. Am I communicating at all? He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will watch to see what he will say. So you stand on the watchtower of prayer to find out what God is saying to your life. You conceive by prayer. You birth by prayer. So, pray the vision into realization. That is first conception and then realization. So we can put it together. Pray the vision unto conception and realization. You conceive it at the place of prayer and you realize it at the place of prayer. Number two, write the vision. Put it down. Let it be like a statement of life's mission. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 2. Write the vision. Write the vision. Put the vision down. I've talked about this before. Let it be written somewhere. Let it be clear. Let it be just somewhere. Write the vision. Number three, break it down into achievable bits or goals. He said, make it plain. So you break it down into achievable bits or goals. This is the example. If my vision for God, trusting for kingdom vision to build, to win 1,000 souls in 1 year. Can somebody calculate for me? If I want to win 1,000 souls in 1 year, how many souls should I win a month to achieve 1,000 in 1 year? That is 1,000 divided by 12, 83. Is it 8? Get it for me. How many souls should I win in 1 month? It's more than that. 1,000 divided by 12. Just use your calculator or your phone. 83. 1,000 divided by 12 is 83. Oh, really? 83. All right. Divide that one by four. How many souls a week? Approximately 21. Divide that by 7. 3 approximately. All right, so can we just straight away divide 1,000 by 365? Okay, still 3 approximately. So you are not focusing on that 1,000 now. Your focus is, how do I win 3 people every day? So because when you think 1,000, it appears big. Or how do I get 20 people in a week? And you can go to one market and within a week you can... Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you break down, the goals become achievable. When it is broken down, you break the goal, you break the vision into achievable what? Bits and goals. Is that number three? Can you place on the screen for me? I'm running. Break it down into achievable bits or goals. Number four, schedule the goals into timelines. Vision is for an appointed time. Schedule the vision and goals into timelines. This is all that I need to do this year. By the time it is January, this must have been done. By the time it is February, this must have been done. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's where the time comes in.
this is what I need to do this year. By January ending, by February ending, this must have been done. I should have made this kind of investment. I should have applied for this kind of schooling. I should have done this and that. You put times to it. That is how you measure whether the vision is being achieved. So by the time you are in March, you can say, okay, one quarter of the goal of vision is achieved. By the time you are in June, one quarter, half of it is achieved. So you schedule the vision and goals into timelines, so that by the end of the year, you can be sure that it is done. Schedule it into timelines. Number five, move aggressively into action that he may run that readeth it. By the time you have the vision, you have prayed it, you received it. By the time you have it written down, by the time you have broken it into beats and goals, by the time you have scheduled it, this is what I will do. Even daily, your daily achievable, your daily goals. This is what I must do daily. Then you move into action aggressively that he may run. Don't hold yourself back at all. Don't slack at all. Nothing succeeds like excess. Excess of the right thing. It's a connection between success and excess. Excess of the right thing. All right? It's better to over-deliver than to under-deliver. These galleries here were told then that it was over-designed. That is, the concrete and iron and every mix, instead of if it was meant to seat how many thousand people, it was almost designed to seat double of what it was. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you go far. You go. The extra is what makes the extraordinary. So you go extra aggressively. You move into action aggressively. Number six, review the vision continually. He said that he may run that, read it. It is present continuous. You read it, you review it. Let there be a place where, whether on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, you are looking at what is meant to be accomplished or achieved or what you are meant to be doing. Now, you review it to refire. When you review, you refire. The fresh fire of it comes upon you. The fresh fire of accomplishment. Also, when you review, you retool. You retool in case there is a different approach. All right, you have tried your best this way and it's not working. The vision remains constant, but the approach to how this thing can be achieved can then be varying. You review, you refire. You review to retool. You review to change approach. All right? So you must see. That is why many people's vision don't come to pass. They write it on January 1st. The next time they look at it is 31st of December 2026. They say, this was my vision, but it never came to pass. No, it can't come to pass. It can't come to pass like that. You don't look at it once. I say that is vision, and then you go to it. It can't come to pass like that. You confront it. You have a very, very aggressive approach that makes it to come to pass. Review continually. Is that number what? Review the vision continually. Number eight, persevere. Number seven, persevere. Until it is realized. He said, for the vision is for an appointed time. At the end, he shall speak. So there is an element of persevering. The vision is not speaking in the beginning. It's not speaking in the middle. It is speaking at the end. So you press to the end. You press to the end. You press to the end. You persevere until the end. Press until the end. Persevere. Until it is realized. Many people give up on vision too quickly. They give up on their decision too quickly. They give up on their conviction too quickly. I have tried this, I have tried that, I've done. No, they give up too quickly. But you persevere until it is realized. One of the young men who gave his lecture to us, a billionaire,
during our kingdom financial stewards. He was importing, I believe it was tomato, right? He was importing tomato to our, exporting tomato to United Kingdom. Pepper, Tatashi, right? He was exporting to the United Kingdom. He sold everything. Put every money in it. The first shipment was destroyed. Rejected. Shipment number 2, frustrated. Number 3, frustrated. Number 4, frustrated. Number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10, number 11, number 12. It was number 13. Boom. He sold his car, sold his wife's car, sold everything. Pushing. The whole thing was failing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It was number 13 that went through. From that one, he has not dropped yet. He hasn't dropped yet. Owned his first plane under age 40. He hasn't dropped since then. The other side has, many people give up so quick. Whatever I'm trusting the Lord for has not come to pass. Beloved, it will come to pass. That was number 7. What number are we? Media, you can help us persevere until it is realized. And number 8. Wrap the vision with faith in God. Wrap it with your faith in God. After he talked about vision, then in verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he said, now the just shall live by his faith. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. This man of vision, who is running with the vision, who is persevering, who is reviewing, he must wrap his vision with his faith in God. Believe it, that God will not show you or put that vision in your heart or your butt in your heart, and you are walking in line with the word of God, and you will not succeed. Your faith in God gives the vision a boost. Whether the vision is for marital settlement or fruitfulness, whatever it is, wrap it with faith in God, and your faith will win. Somebody say amen. Amen. How do you make the vision to come to pass? Can we go through it very, very quickly, and then we shall pray. Number 1, pray the vision unto conception and realization. Number 2, write the vision. Number 3, break it down into achievable bits or goals. Number 4, schedule the vision and goals into timelines. Number 5, move aggressively into action. Number 6, review the vision continually. Number 7, persevere until it is realized. And number 8, wrap the vision with faith in God. Stand up on your feet. You sounded very dull. Wait, did you receive anything at all? Does it make anything to you at all? Lift your hands and appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the I am that I am. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Say after me, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. Thank you for your word to me today. I believe you that these words will come to pass and produce desired results in my life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God. Zeteke perete zeteke pereto zakara la quanta capanato zianda capanate.